ARK Investments has been hampered by the performance of most of the entities in which it's invested as a tough economic environment takes hold. This has resulted in a tepid 2.4% rise in net asset value per share, which is significantly below the medium to long-term expectation of 16%. And joining me in studio with further analysis is the company's co-CEO, Johan van der Merwe. Johan, thanks so much for joining us in studio this evening. So as I say, ARK missing its performance targets for the full year. Are you worried? And I asked the question in the context, of course, of your earnings and your growth being highly correlated to that of GDP and the performance of the local economy.
Yeah. Good evening, Alicia. Now, to be honest, we're not happy. But, you know, I put the analogy there that I try to serve, and sometimes I take a wave and it's a small wave and I serve really well. And then I take a big wave and I don't serve that well. But then my wife says, you look very good there. And you know, if you're just on a small wave, it's very difficult to do. And that's what we've had this year. We had a small wave, and the 2.5% is a far cry from our internal target. But I think one has to take the circumstances into consideration. You know, it's been tough the last year.
And we've had some of your investee companies, I mean, set the tone in the run-up to the release of your results today. Sanlam, Alexander Forbes already showing the extent to which low business and consumer confidence, investor confidence exacerbated by the political uncertainty, and the extent to which that's hit. What's your reading of where things are at right now and the climate you're having to navigate?
Yeah, so the last year was tough, but I have to say, and I mean it if I say, if we're not at the bottom, we're very close to the bottom. We see the green shoots coming through. I think some of the policy changes that we see, some of the changes that have been made in certain of the government circles, etc., we really like that. But, you know, we're suffering the consequences of 10 years of a lot of corruption, and what's been happening, and we, you know, probably wishful thinking to have thought that we'll see a V-shaped recovery. These things tend to have a momentum for a while, and then hopefully we can turn it around and then go. But, you know, difficult times like this also provide opportunities. Asset prices are lower, and then we can buy better companies.
And of course, so you see new opportunities rise to the surface. Amidst it all, you've increased your intrinsic portfolio value, most significant investment being Time Bank. Let's talk through that and the extent to which you're hitting milestones there, where one has to take into consideration, I guess, some low base effect, and that putting into question the sustainable growth that you're going to be able to see down the road.
Yeah, so in terms of Time Bank, we launched the bank in February this year. By the year end, our year end, which is 30 June, we had about 500,000 customers. As of yesterday, we were sitting at 740,000 customers. We hope by the end of the year to have 1 million customers there. You know, we had the opportunity to buy the shareholding of Commonwealth Bank of Australia, because they had their own problems in Australia and so on, and this is how these big companies make decisions, and we were very fortunate to pick it up at a very good price, and we're very, very confident that this bank is going to make it. You know, on the digital side, the customer acquisition at this point in time, the products that we're busy rolling out to these customers as well, we're looking forward to a very, very good.
How are you rating your competitive muscle? Because certainly new entrants, even the incumbents, not sitting on their laurels amidst it all.
No, I think the banks, and we know South African banks, they look at you, sometimes they allow you to do a few things, but we know that they will come hard. You know, we play in some different spaces as they are too at this point in time. We actually can actually have quite a big part of the unbanked, you know, to come into our fold as well. And as we've seen with Capitec, even though they started with the low LSMs, they started moving into the higher LSMs, etc. as well. So we believe that we've got client pools and we've got strategies to get to the 2.5 million customers, you know, within a year or so, and that will give us the break-even point. And then we can really start to roll out more products to these customers. And that's what we're hoping for. But, I mean, we are definitely not naive to think that the other banks are just going to allow us to take their customers.
Having said all of that, Johan, what you've highlighted is that the next phase of unlocking value is to focus on some of the synergistic opportunities down the line that exist between many of the portfolio companies. How rife are those opportunities?
No, they're great opportunities. You know, just taking Time Bank, so you can go into a Pick n Pay or a Boxer store, you can get a card there. So we had a conference where all our different investee companies were, and then Rain sat there and said, you know, you can FICA this person at this, you know, kiosk of yours, and I need to RICA someone to give them a SIM card. So can't I RICA someone at this machine, and then that machine can give them a SIM card? So they're working on that now, and they're going to develop those machines so that you can actually buy a Rain SIM card at one of these machines, because the FICA and the RICA is very similar.
Okay. So, Johan, is that where most of your cash in the ARC fund is being directed right now? Or are new investment opportunities at very enticing price tags that you alluded to at the top simply too hard to ignore?
No, Lisa, definitely looking at more investments as well. So we're sitting with 725 million cash at the moment, which isn't that much looking at a 9 billion portfolio, etc. But we're busy arranging for R1 billion debt. It's the first time that we will take debt onto the balance sheet in our company, because it's unleveraged at the moment. And then in the bigger transaction that the Ubuntu Butu group did with Sanlam, we also negotiated R2 billion facility from Sanlam, especially to invest in financial services type of companies, where there could be synergies between Sanlam, African Rainbow, and the new investment that we make. So I think we've got quite a bit of firepower, and we definitely will do more investments, especially on the financial services side, to bulk that up.
Let's leave it there, Johan. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening.
Thank
of course,
you,
that's the co-CEO of African Rainbow Capital, Johan van der Merwe.